Perek Hey, Mishnah Zion, and Ches. Today we'll be completing Masechta Sukkah. Very exciting. We've reached the finish line, and looking at the exciting numbers, what we have here is it took us a total of 27 days to complete this Masechta, beginning on June 3rd through July 7th, roughly about a month. Total of 5 chapters and 53 Mishnayos. If you do the math, 53 Mishnayos, so it's 2 a day. At a pace of 10 minutes a day, in a total of 4 hours and 30 minutes. That means over the past month, it took you just about 4 hours and 30 minutes to complete the entire Masechta Sukkah. It's a beautiful thing. And God willing, we'll go straight into Masechta Beitza tomorrow. And without further ado, let's go straight through these two Mishnahs. And Mishnah Zion is going to start off with the same theme that we were discussing yesterday of the, you know, various karbanos and the way they would set it up in the Beis HaMikdash between all the mishmaros, between the groups of the kahanim. So here we go. B'shlosha prakim mashana. During 3 periods of the year, the 3 Yom Tovim it's referring to, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, Hayukala Mishmaros, all the groups of the Kahanim Shavin, they were actually equal, the 24 groups that normally would rotate in the Beis HaMikdash throughout the year for the various Karbanos. During these 3 Yom Tovim, they were actually equal in what they would receive and what they would sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, these 24 groups. Be'emurei Haragalim, in the Karbanos that are mentioned on the Yamtif, meaning Karbanos that are related to the Chag, like the Musaf of the Chag, and different Karbanos that are related to the Chag. U'bechiluk lechem apanim, and not only the Karbanos, but also the dividing of the showbreads. So every Shabbos, they would set up on the Shulchan, on the table in the Heichal, they'd have new showbreads, new lechem apanim. And the old lechem apanim that they would remove from the Shulchan would be divided to the Kahanim of the group of the Mishmar that was leaving and the group that was entering. Okay? So Shekhem B'Shabbos, because on Shabbos they would switch up the groups of the Kahanim, the base of Mikdash. And the lechem apanim would be divided between these two groups. We'll see later on in the next Mishnah, it would be 6 and 6 between these 12 showbreads. So what happens is that if Yom Tov fell out, if Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot fell out on Shabbos, then the Lechem HaPanim would be divided to all 24 groups, not just to the 2 groups of the one leaving and the one coming. Ba'atzaras, on Shavuos, during the Chag of Shavuos that fell out on Shabbos, aside from the Lechem HaPanim that they would be dividing on Shabbos to the Kohanim of the group of Kol HaMishmaros, of all the groups, right? Because when it fell out on Yom Tov, it would be all the groups. Gam Shtei Alechem, also the Shtei Alechem, Habos Ba'atzeres, that came during Shavuos, from the Tzvuah Chadash, from the new grains, the Vishahein Bos Mach Masarech, they came because of Shavuos, right? They divide that also. Except that the Chalos of the Lechem upon him were Matzah, and the Shtei Alechem were Chametz. So what would they do? So Amramlo, they would say to every single Kohen, at the time that they'd be giving out their portions of these breads, Helech matzah, here is the lechem apanim that is matzah. Helech chametz, here is the shtei lechem that is chametz. So here, because it was 2 different types of breads we're giving out, when they give it the lechem apanim, they'd say, here's the matzah. And when they give it the shtei lechem, they'd say, here is the chametz. Now, this was for all the mishmaros, all the groups. But what about the group that had, you know, their designation for that week? So those guys, the Mishmar, Shazmanu, Kavua, the group that was designated for that week to serve in the Beis HaMikdash that the holiday fell out on, who, Makrav Tamidin, they specifically would bring the carbon tamids of the morning and of the evening, because those would be brought regardless, they're not really tied to the holiday, and therefore those were not distributed to an entire 24 groups, but just to the group that was serving for that day, because anyways those are brought every single day, the tamid of the morning and the tamid of the evening. Nedar munadavos, a carbon that comes from a neder or from a nedava. Karbana shenadu v'shenadu osam kol shana v'bim l'bregel. Throughout the year, people would say, either to make a neder, a promise, or say, I promise to bring a carbon to the base of Mikdash, right? So they'd have to bring a carbon. Or they'd say a nedava, they'd say, I promise to bring this carbon, meaning this specific animal, to the base of Mikdash. So they would fulfill these vows on the Rega, on the Yom Tovim. So the group that was designated for that week, they had to bring these karbanos also. And the difference between a neder and a nedava is a neder is a promise. That means whether you lose the animal, whether you don't lose the animal, you always have to bring it. But a nedava is, I'm saying specifically this animal I'm bringing as a karban. And if you lose this animal, you actually don't have to replace it. That's the difference between these two terms. Okay? So group that was serving for that week, they bring these karbanos also, because people who make these vows throughout the year, they fulfill them on the Yom Tovim, and now this group could bring these karbanos. Ushar karbanos tibor, and all other types of karbanos of the public, like the musaf of the Shabbos, and the Gemara explains that also a par ha'elam davar shel tibor, which means an ox that is brought from for something that was hidden from the public. What does that mean? So if Beis Din, if they made a law, right, they paskin, they made a judgment, that's the right word, by mistake, to permit something which is really forbidden. For example, a sin that normally, al-zodono karis v'ashigas v'chatas, that if you did it on purpose, you'd be chayef karis, cut off from the Jewish people, and if you did it by mistake, you'd be liable to bring a chatas offering, a sin offering. So if the Beis Din made a judgment permitting one of these things, and then most of the people followed that judgment, and then afterwards was notified that they made this wrong ruling. So in order to rectify this sin, Beis Din would bring a karban, an ox, as a sin offering to atone for their mistake. And it was called a par ha'alam davar shel tibor, an ox that is brought for something that was hidden from the public. So the kohanim that were serving that group for that week would also bring this karban as well. Umakir v'sakal, they'd bring all the karbanos that are not coming specifically because of the holiday, but just because of either the week. The Gemara explains it doesn't come and include, you know, regular karban olos. They were brought as just a gift offering from the public that was, you know, brought on the mizbeach when the mizbeach didn't have any karbanos on it and they wanted to be active. They'd bring just regular karban olos to be brought on the mizbeach. And this part of the Mishnah is speaking just to the Kohanim of that week. Okay, now it concludes with one more thing that goes back to all the groups of the Kohanim. And what's that? All 24 groups. Yom Tov Asamach L'Shabbos. If Yom Tov comes out close to Shabbos, Bein Milafanah, Bein Milacharah, whether before, whether after. What does this mean? For example, if the last day of Yom Tov fell out on Friday, right before Shabbos, right, or if the first day of Yom Tov fell out on Sunday, right after Shabbos, right? So here, in these cases, it's not that the Yom Tov fell out on Shabbos. We said when the Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, all 24 groups are going to divide the karbanos equally, right? Here, it's falling out either right before or right after. So the halacha is that here also, even though it didn't fall out on Shabbos, still hayukala mishmaro shavan mechilik lechem apanim, all 24 groups would be equal in the dividing of the lechem apanim of the showbreads, even though the holiday didn't fall out on the actual Shabbos, but fell out a day earlier or a day after. And the reason is as follows. Because if the last day of Yom Tov fell out on Friday, right, so that means that the Kohanim that are serving the Beis HaMikdash, right, they're not able to go back into their houses, you know, back to the city, only until after Shabbos, because the next day is Shabbos, they can't go anywhere. And if Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, immediately after Shabbos, so the Kohanim that are serving the Beis HaMikdash have to come early, they have to come ready on Friday, Erev Shabbos, for the Yom Tov on Sunday, because they can't travel on Shabbos. So the Chacham made a takana that even in this kind of Shabbos, because Yom Tov is near it, that all the groups, all 24 groups, can take from the lechem apanim from the showbreads, just like when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos itself, because the Kohanim are being stuck at the Beis HaMikdash, because they have to come early. So here too also, not only when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, but when Yom Tov falls out either a day before or a day after, we'll say that the Kohanim will divide all the lechem apanim equally as well, and that's going to be from Mishnah Zion. And it's interesting to note that over here in this specific case, they take equally in the lechem apanim, but not necessarily in the karbanos. Because the karbanos are specific when the actual Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, and all 24 groups will take equally of the karbanos. But here, when it falls out a day before or a day after, so then because it gets stuck in the Beis HaMikdash, because of the scenario, they'll take equally in the lechem apanim, but not necessarily in the karbanos of the Chag. And that's the clarity here. Okay, perfect. Last Mishnah. Mishnah Ches. What happens if Chalios Yom Echad LaHafzik Bein Time? If Yom Tov fell out right before Shabbos with a day's difference in between, meaning whether Yom Tov to Shabbos, for example, Yom Tov fell out on Monday, right? So the Kohanim are able to go up to Yerushalayim on Sunday to get ready for the Yom Tov on Monday. They don't have to come up on Friday or Shabbos, right? Or if Yom Tov fell out on Thursday, right? So they're able to go back to their houses on Friday after Yom Tov. They don't have to stay in the Beis HaMikdash for Shabbos. So what happens if these guys, anyways, these Kohanim, nevertheless, when it's Akva, they stayed in the Beis HaMikdash even until after Shabbos. They could have gone home, but they stayed anyway in the Beis HaMikdash. So halacha is, you can have these 24 groups in the base, you know, in the base of Mikdash. We see that Mishmash is Mano Kavua, the group who it's their turn to serve that week in the base of Mikdash. They, Hayanotel Eser Chalos, they'll take actually 10 of the 12 Chalos from the Lechem Lapanim. And it would be 5 to the Kohanim that are coming in, serving that group, and 5 to the Kohanim that are leaving that group, right? And then the remaining 2 of Amisakev Notel Shtaim, and all other Kohanim that were left in the Beis HaMikdash, they would just take the last 2 loaves. So we're not going to give them nothing, but we'll give them those 2 loaves because they stayed there in the Beis HaMikdash. But Ubishari Mos Hashanah, the rest of the year, on a normal week, HaNichnas, the group that comes in during that week is their week, Notel Shesh, who takes 6 Chalos, right? Half of 12, Vayotze. And the group that's leaving, Notel Shesh, they take 6, they take the other half of the Chalos, like the standard protocol of what would normally be. Every week a group would come in, and every week a group would leave, right? And they would do the change of the guards would be after the Korban Musaf of the Shabbos. So they would swap, they would take, the group coming in would take 6 chalos and the group leaving would take 6 chalos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda argues, he says, HaNichnas Notel Sheva VaYotzei Notel Chamesh. He says that no, the group that's entering on a regular week will always take actually more. The entering group will always take 7 chalos and the leaving group will always take 5 chalos. We don't always divide it equally on a standard Shabbos during the year. And the reason is because when the entering group comes in, right, they have to close up the doors in the evening from the leaving group that left in the morning. So as a reward for closing up shop, they get to take an extra 2 chalos. We don't pask like a Yehuda. We pask and it's always 6 and 6, you know, 50-50. But that's his opinion as a special reward for the incoming Kohanim that are closing up shop for the ones that were leaving in the morning and they were coming in the evening, they were closing up after them, so they get that special extra 2 chalos, they get to take 7. Okay, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Now getting into more detail, HaNech Nasin, the Kohana that would be entering into the Beis HaMikdash, they would always chok and they divide the Lechem HaPanim that they would receive, but Safon, north of the Azara, which was the place where they would shech the Kutche Kutchim, the Holy of Holy sacrifices, in order to show everybody that they came into the Beis HaMikdash, v'hayotze, and the ones that were the Kohanim that were leaving the Beis HaMikdash for that week, but darom, they would divide their lechem upon him south of the Azara to show everybody that they're leaving the Beis HaMikdash. Now this was a general rule, but Bilga, there was a group that was called the Bilga group, okay? So, because each group was called, they had their own name, all right? They always divide their lechem apanim in the south, even when they're coming in, right? And the south is the area where it looks like you're leaving the Beis HaMikdash. Even when they come in, they always have to divide it in the south. And that's because the knas hu shekonsu chachamim, the chachamim made a knas, they made like a penalty on them. We'll explain why in a moment. That even when they come into the Beis HaMikdash, they have to divide their showbreads and the lechem apanim in the south, as if to look like they're leaving the Beis HaMikdash. It was a scornful thing for them. We'll see why in a moment they had this penalty on them. Additionally, V'tabat Kavua, their ring of the Bilga group of the Kohanim was always closed, meaning there were 24 rings in the Azara, north of the Mizbeach. Each group, each Kohen group had their own ring, and they would use these rings to put the neck of the animal inside to shecht it, so it should be easy to shecht it. And the ring of the Bilga group was always sealed, and they weren't able to use it. And they had to go and, you know, use their friends' rings. And it was a very, very scornful thing. And we'll see again in a moment why they had this penalty on them. And lastly, the Mishnah concludes, V'chalona stuma, their window was closed. Meaning in the Lishkas HaChalifos, this was the chamber where they would have 24 windows, like cupboards, where the groups, all the 24 groups would keep their knives, their slaughtering knives, their shechita knives. And their window was always closed. And why is this? Why they have these 3 penalties on them? This is all because of a knas, of a penalty that Chamim put upon them. The Gemara explains that there was a story that happened with Mibnos, one of the daughters of the Kohanim of that group. Her name was Miriam Bas Bilga, Miriam the daughter of Bilga. And she went against the Torah. Not only that, she went and she married Sardiyot, who was one of the Greeks. And when the Greeks came into the Heichal during the times of the Chashunam, she came along with them, and she stood onto the Mizbeach, and she kicked it with her foot, and she said, "Lucas, Lucas, wolf, wolf, until when are you going to stop eating up all the money of Klal Yisrael, and you don't even stand up for them during the time of their need?" Meaning, Klal Yisrael is spending so much money on their karbanos, they're making all these sacrifices, and you're not even standing up for them. Look at the Greeks, they're destroying them. And she was extremely, you know, brazen and chutzpahdik in the Beis HaMikdash, and she married this Greek, you know, officer, and she was, you know, she just totally rebelled against Hashem. And then later on, when the Chashmonaim, right, when they prevailed over the Greeks and they purified the Beis HaMikdash and they returned the services back into their place, what they did was is they made a knas, they made a penalty on her group, right, the Bilga group, that these three things that we just mentioned, the dividing of the shortbreads, the lechem panim always in the south, and the slaughtering ring always being closed, and the window for the knives always being closed. These three penalties were instituted because of the, you know, rebellious behavior that Miriam, the daughter of Bilga, portrayed, and she was representing her whole group. And because of that, all of her descendants had to suffer because of that. Like it says in Pirkei Avos, you know, Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechinai, Tevla Tzadik, Tevla Shechinai. That, praiseworthy is a righteous person, and praiseworthy is his neighbor, because he benefits from him. But unfortunate to the wicked one, and unfortunate to his neighbor, because they all suffer from, you know, the wicked one's behavior. So because she did this, all of her descendants had to suffer, you know, with these three penalties over the groups of the Kahanim that were under the Bilga group. And with that, we say, Salach Masech Tosukkah, we completed Masech Tosukkah. And it's just an important concept to take home with you. You know, your actions not only have an effect on yourself, but they have an effect on your children and their children and their children. So whether it be a good action or whether it be a bad action, you have the ripple effect is always going to be there. And, you know, maybe we all merit that we should only have positive actions that, you know, have a ripple effect on our children, our descendants. And mazel tov to all our listeners, God willing, tomorrow we'll go ahead and begin Beitzah.